Sir Arthur Conan Doyle brought to modern literature an outstanding series of detective novels and short stories that would prove to live long after the deaths of the author and his characters. Sherlock Holmes and the tales surrounding him, the greatest criminal investigator of our time, became immortal and soon gained such a staggering audience that the dramas would soon become excellent mediums for the theater, films, and radio. The height of the cult following for Holmes and Dr. Watson took place in the late 30s, as actors Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce took the enchanting team through a series of films set in time from the late 19th century through World War II. Now, Midnight Productions picks up the story of the duo some 20 years later, during a rather slow period in their investigative careers. But nevertheless, an intriguing, bizarre account of how Holmes and Watson faced modern times. Inevitably, we bring you Sherlock Holmes, 1965. B Baker Street, London, March 1965. London's foremost detective, Sherlock Holmes, 110, and his faithful and long-dead companion, Dr. Watson, 123, lie sleeping on the living room sofa, trying to assort the facts for their next case. Their lack of work recently has been exhausting. Time after time, no one has knocked on their door. Day after day, the phone has refused to ring, and the number of murders in London has reached an all-time low. But then, this might be the day for it all to change.
It's time to wake up, Holmes. We're not getting anything accomplished lying around here on the sofa, sleeping off another one.
Yes.
I'm almost certain there's work to be done.
Quite true, Watson. There's always work to be done. We shouldn't waste our precious time around here sleeping and throwing up.
Then again, it's obvious we're going to live forever.
Time is invaluable, Watson. There's a murder being committed out there every minute, and we've got to do something.
It's more like every month, Holmes. Things have been kind of on the dull side since World War II ended.
I know, Watson. But crime still continues. We've just had a lot of bum tips for the last 20 years.
Well,
I suppose so, Holmes. It's like the whole city's trying to keep our motion picture serial unsuccessful.
It's Conan Doyle, Watson. Everywhere we go, he continues to haunt us. Always Sir Arthur. As if he solved all those crimes for us. As if he should go down in history as the greatest detective author, when he really was no more than a two-bit cub reporter following us around trying to make a buck on dime novels.
So,
publishing companies have tried to absolutely destroy us. They've made every case we've ever worked on public, complete with a step-by-step account of how I track the criminal to his death. The whole world knows every system I've got for solving murders.
And you mean they avoid the obvious mistakes they used to make?
Precisely, Watson. If not for the books, we still could be servicing Great Britain as their most capable criminal detective, and with Doyle cold in the ground.
Certainly, Holmes. But you must admit that it still wouldn't be as easy as it used to be. We'd hardly ever had a young maiden stopping by begging us to locate a ruby brooch her half-brother smuggled into Pakistan, containing a compartment full of diagrams of V-2 rockets.
Undoubtedly, but I insist that there are tasks to be done. We must continue to destroy evil in this city until our children's children may live in the comfort and peace of a respectable community.
Holmes, we don't have children.
Speak for yourself, Dr. Watson. Besides, that isn't the point. We must continue to stop the doings of the underworld.
In London?
Well, practically stop them.
I think you're living in a storybook myself.
Not any longer, man. We must realize the present. This is 1965, and there's a whole modern world out there that we're up against.
You said that in 1915.
It was just as true then.
Well, first I think we should get a bit more sleep before we go out looking for trouble. I mean, I'm 123 years old.
Yes, you're probably right, Watson. It's time for scene two, anyways. Crum Street. Holmes and Watson proceed on a stroll down one of the wickedest streets in the city. Their goal? To find any clue relating to any crime. They come upon a man of questionable intentions. Leaning up against an underground building, his eyes are beady, shifting from side to side. He is full of fear, and the last one to expect that he is about to meet Sherlock Holmes, 1965. Look, Watson, the man across the street beside the underground building. Could it be what we're looking for?
Oh, he does seem to be of questionable intention, but he's not actually committing a crime. He's not doing anything wrong. He's not doing anything.
That's beside the point. All that we see may be superficial. If my instincts are correct, we may be in luck, Doctor. I cannot help but feel the presence of a serious criminal. And unless I miss my guess, we're about to witness a serious crime.
Oh, really, Holmes?
Excuse me, fellow. I'm Mr. Sherlock Holmes, and this is my assistant, Dr. Watson. We're looking for some serious crime in this district in the hopes of solving a mysterious predicament that has left Scotland Yards absolutely blown away. What are you called?
I am Pierre Angenoux.
Well, we were wondering if you might be of some assistance, Mr. Angenoux.
I did nothing.
We're just asking. We're not indicting.
You're Sherlock Holmes, the famous detective?
Yes, I am.
I thought he was dead.
My dear fellow, I'm as fit as a fiddle.
How old are you?
110.
Oh, my God.
Could you answer a few questions for us, old chap?
I did nothing.
Please, just help us with some clues. We'll figure out the rest.
How old are you, really?
Please, Mr. Angenoux, time is invaluable. Have there been no crimes in this area in the past few days?
No, there have been no crimes.
Well, can you suggest where we might look?
Yes, I can. There's a discotheque just down the street that deals in narcotics. You might check there.
Really? What type of narcotics might be involved?
Oh, I don't know. Just go in and ask for Ringo. He's the bartender. When you find him, just say, I understand you have a horse named Sugar that is racing in his veins. He'll take care of you.
Excellent. Watson, I think we're onto something finally. We may just have our man.
Oh, who do you think did it, Mr. Holmes?
Well, I'd rather not say at this point, but this visit to the discotheque could prove interesting. You dance, Watson? Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson managed to walk the distance of the block to Ringo's Disco 65 in the pursuit of a dangerous narcotics ring. After several stops to rest, the duo make their way through the door of the underground building containing the club. Little do the patrons realize, but they are about to face London's foremost and oldest detective. Sherlock Holmes, 1965!
This home!
This way, Watson. We've got to push our way through and find the bartender.
Look!
Come on, old man. This way.
I can't hear you.
Excuse me.
Why is everyone screaming, Holmes?
Come on, Watson.
Oh, my God. Good heavens. Excuse me. What's all this infernal noise?
Unless I miss my guess, we've stumbled onto the Yardbirds, back when they had Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page. This could turn out to be a smashing show.
What?
Look, Watson, over there, the bartender. That must be our man.
What?
Follow me over. Excuse me. Mr. Ringo.
Hello, man.
I'm Sherlock Holmes, and my companion Dr. Watson will be here momentarily. Could we talk for a bit?
Well, maybe for 2 bits. What can I do for you, man?
More than you can imagine. I'm interested in finding a horse named Sugar.
With racing in his veins?
Precisely.
Well, he don't come in here very often anymore. I haven't seen him in weeks.
I think you could be mistaken, Mr. Ringo. A certain friend of mine assured me that the pony would be here today, and that you would know where he's being kept.
Well, man... We don't get many horses in here anymore. It's a zoning violation, you know. No more horses or pigs, things like that.
But there is someone who can help me, isn't there?
You might check out Laid Back Herman. He's in racehorses and that sort. You find him in the back room, man, a green door. We call it the far out suite.
Very good. If my friend Dr. Watson shows up, please direct him to the green door.
Later, man.
Holmes finds his way through the mysterious green door, along an underground hallway, and into the far-out suite. Through another door and some dangling beads, he finds the opium den he had hoped for. Actually, the opium den he had dreamed for. Watson remained entrapped on the dance floor, where soon he would collapse from exhaustion and be trampled on for several minutes. Now Holmes was approaching perhaps the leader of the lowly drug ring. After a 20-year search for the perfect case to solve, despite the efforts of his counterpart, Dr. Watson, and through the guidance of Pierre Ingenieux and Ringo the bartender, could it be that the age-old detective was about to achieve his goal? Trip, trip, trip.
What is this?
I'm interested in a horse named Sugar.
What?
That has racing, in his veins.
What do you mean, man?
I'm a friend of Ringo's, hoping that I might meet a Mr. Back. A Mr. Laid Back, I believe.
Right on, Pops. You got him. They don't get no more laid back than me. My peoples call me Herman.
Excellent, Herman Laid Back. Just the man I'm looking for, right?
No, Laid Back Herman, baby.
Very well, Mr. Back. My name is Sherlock Holmes.
Cop?
No, I'm a private investigator.
Listen, brother. We don't keep no pokers in the stable, you understand? Like you can end up a dead man, El Fasto, coming here flashing badges.
I can dig it, Herman. I'm not a police officer.
I don't care what kind of heat trip you are. Man, we got our policy. No fuzz in the suite.
Herman, I'm a friend of Pierre Ingenieux.
Ah, Crazy Pierre. Well, that's different. Like, Crazy Pierre is one of my main men. Kid knows two things. How to keep his trap shut and how to score on some serious cruises.
Yes, indeed. That's why I'm here, actually. Could I possibly examine your...
Dope?
Dope. I don't believe I'm familiar with those particular narcotics. Are those vitamins?
This ain't no narcotics, man. This is dope. Dig... L-S-D.
List. A Norwegian word.
No. Acid, man. Like the best. Send an old man like you up the river for a sail you ain't never gonna forget. Turn your mind loose and just float through all the colors of the rainbow. Reach out for the cosmic, man.
Interesting. But I was expecting perhaps a hypodermic or some coke about the place.
No, man. You don't need that stuff. Just do some acid, man. No problem. Just lay back and let your mind cook.
But will it not damage one's chromosomes?
How do you know you got chromosomes, Pops?
An excellent point. As I think I shall partake of this substance, it could prove to have a very desirable effect on one's mental anguish.
I dig it. They say it's the sunshine that lights you up.
Mr. Holmes decides to investigate the drug ring by sampling their wares. Laid-back Herman lays some heavy dope on Sherlock. Watson eventually waddles into the room, just in time to see Holmes, Herman, and a bizarre array of counterparts indulging in illegal narcotics.
What
What are these colors here?
All the colors of the rainbow, man.
It's rather nuts. Have you got quite a bit of this stuff, Javier?
As much as you...
Oh, no. What is happening to me? Herman, I can dig it, Herman. You know,
Don't worry, man. Just relax.
I didn't know you could talk like that, Herman. That's... What kind of voice have you got?
A round voice.
This is bizarre.
And unexcusable.
Look. I know that fellow over there. That's Moriarty. It's Professor Moriarty.
Oh, Holmes! There you are! Been searching all over for you! My goodness, what have you gotten yourself into this time?
Who is that, Herman? That grotesque jellyfish over there. I don't think I've ever seen him before.
Man, just part of the cosmic consciousness, man.
Oh, my goodness, Holmes! What's the matter with you?
Who is this man? What's this man singing to me, Herman? What's going on?
Oh, you look a bit disheveled.
Who is he? Get him out of here! I think it was a fuzz!
Have you been nipping, Holmes?
Nipping? I've not been nipping, I've been tripping, you fool!
Well, this is no way for an English gentleman to behave.
I'm no English gentleman. I'm...
Sherlock Holmes, 1965.
We've got to get you out of this den of iniquity.
I know he is. The drummer for Moby Grape. Oh, look, my hand's melting.
Oh, Lord. Lord Holmes, you've lost it.
Watson manages to carry Holmes back to their flat at 221B Baker Street, where some 2 days later, Mr. Holmes comes down. Very confused, the masterful and very old detective tries to sort out anything that has happened to him in the past week.
I mean, Pierre Angenieux, Ringo the bartender, and Mr. Laidback Hammond. Do you really think they could have been involved in an illegal criminal narcotics ring?
Well, I doubt that they're a threat to national security, Watson.
Oh, but they were criminals, Holmes. I mean, at last, we stumbled onto some real criminals. Dope fiends.
Pushers, Watson. Besides, they're actually not criminals. They're just exercising their rights to freedom of altered consciousness. What we need, Watson, is your everyday criminal. Well, all the murders, burglars, extortionists, arsonists, crown jewel thieves, heirs to castle fortunes with criminal masterminds are around. What we need is criminal excitement. Well, we can in the last reel of the film come bursting in with all the clues pieced together, guns blaring, flags flying, and make all England safe for parliamentary government and the world a place for our children to grow up. Pass me the needle, Watson. Sherlock Holmes, 1965. This has been Sherlock Holmes, 1965, produced by Midnight Productions, Limited. Written and directed by F.K. Sparkman, starring Michelston Vickers as Dr. Watson, Pierre Angenieux, Ringo the Bartender, and Laidback Herman, and Baron Sparkman as Mr. Holmes. Music by Hugo Montenegro and the Pretty Things. Lighting by Gay Rule. Produced from March 25th through April 7th, 1977, through the facilities of WKYT-TV.